Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. That's what we're going to do. Magical Engineer, are you ready? Frank's ready. I'm ready. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. First part of the show, we are going to be talking about mimic antibody use, the new flu vaccines that they're working on. And, everybody, I guess, is rested up from the holiday. They're getting ready for round what of flu vaccine stuff. Oh, well, we're going to enlighten you. So this is, going to help. And we do have one thing in the Quack Report today, Frank, so it's a little light. But before we get to all that good stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform, hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face, and I'm minding the time, because it grows short. So today's devotional puts us over here in Matthew 16. It says, "For the Son of Man shall come in his glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Jeremiah 17. "And the Lord searches the heart, and he tries the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." And if we go over to Matthew 12, it says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account therefor in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So, your life does, I guess, testify against you, actually, in the end. So you need to be mindful of that. And seek the Lord's face, mind your time, because he is the way. And without further ado, let's do a Quack Report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up, last up in the Quack Report, here's some investigation. Frank, let me ask you before we do this. What kind of oil, if you use any oil when you're cooking on your salads, what kind of oil do you use? Most people use a lot of those refined oils that you see, Wesson and Crisco, and all up and down the grocery store aisles. I personally only use olive oil. Oh, what do you use olive oil on salads, coconut to cook with? Okay, very good, Frank. Well, here's this, you'll be interested in this research published in the Journal of Food Control. And what it found was they tested some oils to see, especially avocado oil, which is a really hot oil now. People like avocados, and so they are looking for very good olive oil. So even the first pressing, the cold pressing part, extra virgin avocado oil, just sort of like the olive oil. Anyway, here's this research that found its way in the Journal of Food Control, and it said that much like your olive oil out there, avocado oil is sought after for its purity and quality, but the research said it will vary dramatically. The study analyzed avocado oils currently on the market in the United States, and they wanted to evaluate their quality. So the report did find that a vast majority of these commercially available oils, avocado oil, was labeled as either extra virgin or refined, but they were all adulterated and of poor quality. So a whopping 82% were found to be rancid even before their expiration date. And 22 of the avocado oils they tested contained no avocado oil at all. It was a cheap soybean oil. Wow. So study author Selena Wang said that she expected to find some percentage of these oils to be adulterated, but to find all of them adulterated was a bit of a shock. All of them. All of them. So, you know, a lot of times they cut even the pure, supposedly virgin olive oil that you get from, I don't know, Italy. Don't believe it. Just don't believe it. You have to really search out some really good olive oils. I think the best olive oil I have ever tasted came from a company out in California called Apollo Olive Oil. And the reason it was so good is they cold pressed it in a vacuum, Frank. So the oil wasn't exposed to air to start the rancidity process. So, and when you got your oil and opened it, they encouraged you to use it in a certain amount of time so that it kept it, you know, from going rancid. So it, they had different kind of flavors to it. They had a little bit of an olive oil with a bit of a spice, some with more citrus. It was nice. I mean, they had little sample bottles and everything. So Apollo olive oil was, I thought, my favorite out of all the olive oils I've ever tasted. Now, I've never been to a country, you know, that actually pressed it fresh and you could take it home with you. I guess that would be Italy or Israel. I haven't been to European countries that do it there because I'm sure their olive trees have a different taste as well. And you know what? The olive tree, Frank, they grow to a very old age, and they have very deep roots. I mean, the tree, the roots go down to, you know, the center of the earth almost kind of thing. So they're very, very hardy trees, and they can last over 100 years, a couple hundred years. So olive trees are just amazing. I wish I had one. Oh, well, and that wraps the Quack Report. Well, Frank says it's snowing where he's at. Yeah, White Christmas. That's nice, Frank. We had 70 degrees here in North Carolina. It was interesting. I mean, it was quite warmer than it usually is. We are used to having 70-ish weather at Thanksgiving, but not Christmas. Oddly mild Christmas over here. All right, so we're going to be talking about some new research. This is out of Squibbs Research and Cornell Medicine. They were looking at mimicking your antibody activity to help them make a new vaccine for influenza. So we're going to talk about it. So, you know, medical science is really, they've been working on a way to design some better influenza vaccines that will resist the virus mutations. So COVID aside, you know, we're not just talking about COVID here. So there is a vast number of these viral strains, and it makes it very difficult for these vaccine manufacturers to make a flu vaccine that's very effective. You know, in the past, they've kind of just made educated guesses what strain would be this year. And the vaccines tend to not be as effective as they would like. So this new research from Squibbs Research Institute and Cornell Medicine, they think they may have a solution to making a universal flu vaccine. I thought we'd check it out. So what they looked at was your human blood and its natural resistance. Now, this is what God gave everybody, part of the immune system, and the antibodies float around in the blood. So they were looking at that, and what the researchers stated was that in some people have this natural resistance to influenza, and they analyzed blood samples from these people that have this very high immunity to influenza. And what they found was people with this high resistance, even when infected with a broad variety of viruses, they'd have these antibodies that protect them. Yeah. So science is needing this new concept regarding, you know, making and marketing their vaccine shots. So this is an angle they're going for. And what makes these people clad-proof against influenza, that's what they wanted to find out. You know, you ever meet any people, Frank, that say, I never get the flu? You ever hear, I've met several of those people, numerous times. Lots of people say that, I never get the flu. I never get a flu shot, and I never get the flu, is what they say. And I'm like, you got a hearty immunity then. What did you say, Frank? maybe those people are not nutritionally deficient. True. Like I've said, I think a lot of internal medicine issues is a lack of minerals. And so if your immune system's not running well, it's probably because it's needing some minerals. Let me read you this quote. First let's talk about the chink in the armor is what they're always looking for in healthcare, medicine, science research. So researchers, they really set out to answer the questions about, you know, why these people are super immune, but they also wanted to answer the questions. They looked at the vulnerability areas on viruses themselves, you know, the chink in the armor, you know. And so if they could find the universal flaw in a virus, they could actually, exploit that and design a vaccine that could wipe out all influenzas, and it doesn't matter what strain it is. So they also wanted to observe also how your antibodies attack a virus. You know, they were looking at where these antibodies go. Is there like a weak area on the virus itself that it attacks? And they wanted to know what area that was. Here's a quote from the research. It says, "It's always exciting to discover a new site of vulnerability on a virus because it paves the way for rational vaccine design." That was by Andrew Ward. He's the professor of integrative structural and computational biology at Squibb Research. Nice title, huh, Frank? Mm. So what the team looked for was how the human antibodies attack the virus, looking to see if the antibody found a weak spot to kill the virus. They researched these sites that the antibodies would bind to the virus itself, and the researchers called these anchor antibodies. They would anchor or bind to the virus cell and attack it. Now, you can imagine that this research, you know, took some time because there's like more than 350 different antibodies in your human blood system at one time. And the team could recognize now, they said, antibodies that were present in the blood from past infections, and they could also recognize the new antibodies, which I thought was interesting. They said the old antibodies can be adapted by the immune system to attack the new strains of viruses, and these antibodies are common in people, which makes the immune system very complex. Here's another quote. This is by Jenna Guthmiller, University of Chicago, also kind of was on the team here, the research. She said, "The human immune system already has the ability to make antibodies to viral pathogens. It is our job to apply modern discoveries with protein engineering methods to make the vaccine that can reduce those antibodies in higher numbers." Interesting statement. Why would you want to reduce antibodies? Why would you want, induce. So they want to power up the immune system like it's not powerful enough. And we know where that goes, usually. Autoimmune issues and other things. So this universal vaccine has been on the design table for, over a decade, Frank. Now, the goal of scientific medicine is to create a super universal vaccine to prove the immune system's interaction with viruses. And this research we're talking about did get published in Science Daily, December 23rd, 2021, right before Christmas. Now, Squibb's research states, "Ideally, a universal influenza vaccine will lead to antibody activity against multiple sections of a virus for protection from the virus and evolving viruses," in other words, mutating forms. So, but let's look at some research of flu vaccines that they've done in the past that they've been working on. This was released in 2017. This was Squibb's Research Institute once again, and they released research showing that how the influenza vaccine is manufactured and how it tends to cause the virus to mutate. And therefore, it makes it less effective in the very beginning. So it's what they're doing to the vaccine that makes it less effective, according to this research. Okay, so this research was reporting on flu vaccines that tend to be cultured on eggs. And then they process the mutating viruses and increased supposedly their adaptive capability. So what this essentially makes is makes it kind of impossible for the human immune system antibodies to target a pathogen and kill it when they start doing this. So the influenza vaccine, what it does is it has a naturalist evolution to it, and the flu shots don't help your immune system create antibodies against the influenza. So this is why they're really not as effective, and a lot of the statistical data is skewed on it. So not only does it really it doesn't help you with an antibody, but it also causes all kinds of health issues for a lot of people. Research has come out that, you know, if you get a flu shot each year, it makes you more vulnerable to viruses, flu viruses. So, and this is very, very specific also when they start adding those H1N1 bird flu viruses, Frank, to the vaccine serum, especially for that. So if you notice, they have these pandemics like the bird flu and other things, and then they start working those pathogens into your standard flu shot. So science is saying that they kind of got some of this wrong. This was a big human experiment, really. And science thought that their flu serums would, you know, educate and teach your immune system to operate in the way they thought would be better, the way they wanted it to. And it didn't happen. What really happened is it made the viruses more virulent or infectious, and the flu vaccine became pretty worthless and more dangerous. And I wonder, you know, how many people have really succumbed to a flu shot, you know, when they you know, prematurely died when they didn't have to. So you've got also this recklessness that's happening within medical science, as you're seeing today, where everybody's part of the experiment without any informed consent. Now, October 2017, in the Polos Pathogens Journal, there's this Dr. Wu, also with Squibbs Institute, and he suggested that the pharmaceutical manufacturers should look at the research more seriously. He says, we've also heard of the vaccine industry is looking at new technology. Of course, your mRNA would fit that. Also at the way the immune system works all together using gene therapy, and the new vaccines of the future will significantly change your DNA. Of course, so this was in 2017. They're talking about significantly changing your DNA, like they're doing right now. Now, if the microbe has been changed with a chemical process, your immune system response can't be anything, but it can't do anything with that. So these chemical treated pathogens have a high risk of mutating, and there is risk that they become more of a live microbe than a dead one. Then the disease does become more virulent and dangerous. And what they found is in nature, they can cause, outside of nature, they can cause a more serious disease. So it's not something nature evolved. It's something they evolved in the lab. So in America and in a lot of developed parts of the world, disease is a big business. It's a big business model for scientific medicine. So what better way to mask the spread of disease than to call it a prevention treatment and to secure a steady flow of patients then? Here's a quote from David Baltimore. He's a virologist at Caltech. He said, in protecting against disease, conventional vaccines often fail to produce effective antibodies, especially against different strains. And Dr. Joseph McCullough weighs in, vaccines contain live or killed lab-altered microorganisms and also contain carcinogens, heavy metals, and mutated protein. A Swedish study found that vaccines produce approximately 400% risk in narcolepsy and other neurological disorders. And I have read tons of research on your vaccines that are viral in nature are the most harmful. Yep. This is from also Dr. McCullough. He says, narcolepsy is now confirmed as a side effect in the Panoramix H1N1 bird flu strains, influenza vaccines, by 900%. So the research was confirmed by these countries in Sweden, Finland, Germany, France, and Norway, and they all can't be wrong, right? Statistically, it can't be. They all can't be wrong. Also, going forward, they say, make no mistake, injecting organisms into your body to provoke immunity is contrary to the nature, and the vaccination carries enormous potential to do serious damage to your health. And we've been covering that for a while now, haven't we, Frank? Dr. Kurt Perkins, he goes on to say, well, if the ingredients in a vaccine were on your dinner plate, would you want to put them in your body? Then why would you inject them into your body? Good question, I think. Excellent question. Well, a lot of people want to know, well, how do you reverse the damage from a vaccine? Well, you want to know, this is what we do. It's best to utilize a lot of natural elements to help draw the infection back out. So some people, you know, are in certain circumstances and they get a vaccine, but they didn't want to. So what we like to do is use a two-step approach. One is using a topical herbal product that draws. So, I mean, this works on any toxin, snake venom, poisonous spider bites, you know, like brown recluse, you know, rattlesnake, copperhead bites, also on poison ivy, oak, and sumac. It just, any toxin, it draws it back out. But you got to use it right away. Okay, so the sooner you use it, the better. And then the second step is to catch what may slip by. The topical application, we use a blood cleanse internally, because usually within 2 hours, those vaccine things kind of work its way into the blood system. So we like to sweep the blood in a short burst. So if you're looking for a reversal of such, then you want to call the folks at Apothecary Herbs and you want to ask about that reversal product. You can look them up online, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. Or I'll give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. And, you know, this is not a new product. This is something that's been around for 20 years. So, good track record, and you won't be disappointed. And it gives you an ability to say no, but be compliant. But hopefully you don't have to. You won't have to. Let's try to avoid it altogether and not have to do that. So, yeah, stand your ground. That's the best thing. So, don't want to take any unwanted risks, you know. So thepowerherbs.com, you want to give them a call and get their free catalog at 866-229-3663. Or if you want to jump on the website at thepowerherbs.com, do sign up for their free online newsletters. Just click on books and newsletters and sign up there for free. They are delivered by email, so you have to have an email account to get one, thepowerherbs.com. So I know we're coming up to a little break here, but we got a lot of information on the other side. We might kind of touch on something we mentioned in 2019 regarding zoonotic plagues, which is what we're seeing right now, and kind of give you a little refresher on that, and also kind of educate you a little bit, hopefully, about virology, what virologists, you know, the language of a virologist and when they're talking about diseases and your health, what are they really saying? You know, understanding what they're saying is important. So when we come back, we'll try to cover those things and maybe more. Be right back. She drank and pulled up. She put the lime in the cooking. Now she called a doctor.
Internal Medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate from those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. He will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
In time for just a little bit to 2019, shall we? Go in our time capsule, and we're going to look at some of the things that we were talking about then regarding what science was telling us in advance about zoonotic diseases that were coming. Now, for those who don't know what a zoonotic disease is, where they take a disease that typically is only in the animal realm, and make it jump the gap to the human one. And they call it evolution. It happened that way by nature, but I beg to differ. So here it is. So this is the Public Library of Science. They had this peer-reviewed journal article It was primary research they were doing, and this was November 7th, 2018, and they were talking about there's going to be an increase in transmissible pathogens from animals to humans. So there's been this rapid increase of zoonotic viruses. The ones that infected only mammals are now infecting humans. So for thousands of years, only animals, and then bam, just like that, all of a sudden, it's humans. So these viruses are delivering pathogens to mankind and attacking the immune system, and our immune system really hasn't encountered these pathogens before. So healthy immune systems will have the most success at defending you against this disease, but people with underlying health conditions may struggle with them. Now, those with weak immune systems or diabetes or heart disease, they're the ones that are going to have a challenge with these kind of diseases. So we have to ask, though, how can science actually have told us back then that they had this accurate understanding that these viral species from mammals was going to be transmitted to humans? How did they predict that? Well, they like to predict disease, don't they, Frank? Science is heavy into their marketing, their ability to predict your disease. That's how, you know, they supposedly predict in your seasonal flu shots. This is what viral strain is going to be big this year. But new studies and also a lot of blood work research and diagnostic tools they're using, a lot of computer algorithm programs, they say now help them to predict with more accuracy the risk of human diseases as far out as maybe 10 years, they're saying. So they could probably tell you, Frank, and within 10 years, what disease you're going to get. Well, according to research that was published in the Journal of the Public Library Science, they reveal that scientists have a great understanding of what viruses will do and how they will begin to infect humans, because they describe some of these gaps in disease surveillance as viruses adapting or mutating to jump the gap from animal to species. So that's how they're explaining it. So now I've read a lot of reports on this kind of thing, and I can say that science knows how to change viruses with gene editing and protein manipulation to make a virus infect another species. Now, once they find the entry gate, okay, how a virus will enter cells and infect another species, it's just a matter of editing the disease for a human transmission. So they've learned to do that. What'd you say, Frank? yeah, isn't that, you know, called a gain of function? Yes, that's right, Frank. Yeah, so, you know, they look for the Achilles heel, if you will, and exploit it. If you want to call it gain of function, okay. Now, they have this virus prediction tool, okay? This was a journal article, and the research scientists at University of Georgia were talking about this. They developed a computer model that ran data on 224 human viruses that have undocumented association traits to predict when animal viruses will develop these traits and then infect humans. So the scientists are saying their system predicts at 84% accuracy. And to be clear, their transmissibility trait includes the ability to infect the human respiratory and nervous system. I thought that was a very interesting coincidence. They also state their model should be used to prioritize the high-risk viruses for future research and other emerging diseases. Well, how about this? Why not just say, use our model to predict, you know, how many shutdowns we're going to have, how many resets we're going to have, you know? So to date, they are predicting, well, this was back in 2019, they were predicting 47 animal viruses that will infect humans. 47. And they said that they were on a virus watch, on which viruses they will see transfer to humans. So let me list you some of the things on their list. The coronaviruses, these are from mammals, we're dealing with them right now. Also, Hendra viruses from bats and horses, cardiovir viruses from other mammals like pigs, rosaviruses are from rats, human T-cell leukemia viruses from primates, and Sumerian viruses from also primates. So here we got. We got viruses they're looking at from primates, rats, pigs, bats, and mammals like skunks and raccoons, marsupials, I guess it's kangaroo could be in there. The kangaroo virus. Can you just see the headlines, Frank? The kangaroo virus is hopping into your town near you, right? All right, sounds kind of like a lot of these viruses, to me, have been under development. Yeah. Drug company development, that's what I say. And, you know, we reported years ago, I was telling you, you know, virologists are in bat caves collecting diseases from bats. Why? Right? Why? And here we have the Wuhan, you know, from the, bat supermarket? Right? Now, what are some of the characteristics of the viruses that are going to be the most problematic? Viruses are really small microorganisms, smaller than bacteria, so they can float through fabric, like face masks. No problem. Now, viruses need a host cell to replicate in and to spread, so they need a live host. So viruses are more difficult to neutralize because they hide inside cells. Now, when viruses infect cells, the surface of the cell can change. So the human immune system tries to compensate and use their killer T cells, their lymphocytes, which tend to be capable of recognizing a cell that may be harboring a virus. Uh-huh. So scientifically, medicine is pushing for a development of numerous antiviral drugs and vaccines. Now, let me just say this. What if? Okay, so they know your killer T cell lymphocytes are capable of identifying cells that are hiding viruses, right? So what if the universal flu shots are not designed to kill the influenza, but are to interrupt the lymphocyte? Think about it. Just think about it. So these viruses that they're using are coming from mammals, and they've actually have had some success. Apes, rats, camels, pigs, dogs, bats, sheep, skunk, squirrels, rabbits, and birds. So a brief list of your diseases would be HIV, Ebola, Spanish flu, rabies, yellow fever, Marburg, and SARS all came from mammals. Quite the list, huh? Right. The plague list, right? So I guess you could look at it as Plague Inc. That's what they are right now. Right, Frank? Wouldn't you say? Yeah. Well, Science has published lots of articles, and they talk about what it takes to manifest very deadly strains of viral diseases. So they're describing how they're going about this. So the most deadly viral strains have very high transmission rates, and people are easily infected and with brief contact. And it spreads from infected person to infected person. So what science is attempting to do, and for the most part, is on – it's really a path of success for where their standpoint is. They evoke a creation for a wide, worldwide scale epidemic disease. So science does not have to wait thousands of years for strains of disease to mutate and jump the animal to human gap. Science is capable of forcing that evolution of disease to include human transmission. Okay, and they've done that. So science has been using animals to harvest viral diseases and modify them for high transmission capability. And you want to keep in mind that these are multiple ways for transmission. Eating diseased meat, air, small particulates are transferred into air, either dust, leaves, and all can become airborne and breathed in, infected via the pulmonary. And a very fast way to infect a person is through pulmonary. Also water. Viruses are very capable of surviving in fresh water, lakes, and streams, and can infect fish that we consume and eat. Viruses also love moist environments. And through the blood, viruses can be transmitted into open wounds and instantly spread through the blood system. Viruses can get into your organs and tissues this way. And by the way, what is a puncture wound? Full of a vaccine, full of disease, right into the bloodstream, right in 2 hours. Yeah, artificial infection, that's what it's called. Now, insects, also mosquitoes, can inject viruses into humans. And also via their saliva, you know. They transfer a lot of parasites. You know, this is where dogs can get heartworm. What'd you say, Frank? And what exactly is a virus anyway? Well, it typically, if you went to the doctor and you had all these symptoms, the doctor says you have a virus. A virus was code name for we don't know what you got. It's some pathogen, but we don't know what you got. They still don't understand everything it is about a virus, and it's just frightening to science that it can mutate and become drug resistant in a skinny minute. Just like your antibacterial drugs, it took 4 years for penicillin to become resistant. You know, the pathogen, the bacteria, to become resistant to penicillin medication. 4 years. Totally resistant. Yep. And they had to come up with different stuff. Oh, well, they knew that in the research in the beginning when they launched penicillin. They knew that, but they just didn't tell anybody. Oh, yeah. So they knew they were on this path of no return once they did that. The other thing, insects, we talked about mosquitoes transmitting, and lastly, birds and rodents obviously can target unsanitary places and spread disease. You know, this is where the Black Plague came in with, you know, fleas on rats and all that, right? What'd you say? You think viruses and cancer are parasites? Well, in a way they are, because they need a host to survive on. So I want you to just think for a minute and be prepared for just about anything, because when viruses can transmit using all these means of transmission, food, air, water, blood, insects, birds, rodents, you can get viruses this way and also through artificial infection with a vaccine. So they can transmit these viruses multiple ways, and these diseases can spread very fast and very quickly. That's why viruses are their choice of a modem, is because they're small, they're convenient, they're manipulative, they can manipulate the viruses, and there's various ways to do. They can put them in small particulates and put it in airborne, you know, and you breathe them in. So if you ask scientists which venue is best at spreading a virus infection quickly among the masses, they tend to tell you stomach irritation leading to vomiting. Now, vomit offers a very fast transmission. You may say, well, how is that? Well, you may be saying that, you know, that air and water transmission would be the most effective. That's probably what most people would think. They are very effective, but viruses that penetrate the digestive system weaken the body, and they are going to have infectious residues, which are going to be within the mouth, and when you have vomiting come out and spread, coughing, cause more severe health problems and even death. So the ones that attack the gut are the ones that are the most serious. Now, let's recap. Science knows that the most lethal viruses are highly and easily transmissible, and they have influenza profiles, and they have, guess this, high mortality. That's why viruses are selected. So what would be the ultimate virus, you think, Frank? The ultimate weapon. The ultimate viral weapon from Plague Inc. What do you suppose they're going to do? Well, the unthinkable virus is not science fiction anymore. According to a chemistry and physics expert, Dave Consiglio, University of Michigan, he says influenza and HIV viruses fit the criteria as a potentially lethal virus. Deadly viruses that spread easily, quickly through your body fluids, and which can become airborne, are the core pathogens. They're not talking about ordinary viruses, but pathogens that can survive for months on metal surfaces and can lie dormant on unwashed silverware and also on children's toys. So they can stay there almost indefinitely, he said. So with such a virus, at first there's really no symptoms, as with some viral infections, the immune system cells lower the infectious rate and minimize it a bit, thereby limiting or even canceling the virus for a while. But Professor Consiglio says a lot of these viruses could infect without even your knowledge and kill anyone within 10 years of age quickly. So some of these are very bad. Such a disease to kill the masses would mean humans have really no natural immunity to them. It's a disease that is new, novel, and it could progressively infect many humans. And he says, get this, it has to come from a mammal, because then your immune system hasn't encountered it yet, and there's no antibody. The disease needs also to be edited, he said. So it has to be lab-created. That's what he said the unthinkable virus would be. It's from an animal. It's been gene-edited, and it's going to have a high mortality rate, and it attacks and infects quickly. Yep. So, you know, we've got global pandemic obsession at this point in our lives, and a lot of research papers have been talking about global pandemics for a while, and there's so much chatter on this topic. It suggests, you know, a lot of scientific medical communities are obsessed with this topic, and they've been obsessed for some time. John Hopkins Center for Health Security published some research titled Characteristics of Microorganisms Most Likely to Cause a Global Pandemic. And in their prediction back then, this was 2018, sorry, their prediction for that type of pathogen pandemic would be, here's their snapshot, a respiratory transmission with coughing, sneezing, and contagious body fluids. Incubation period before the symptoms, 14 days, and you're contagious during this time, and infected persons will shed the virus quickly to others. The symptoms would be mild at the onset, and then the mortality rate would be significant, and your RNA retroviruses tend to be a bigger threat, like the bird flu they listed. And bird flu is lab created too. So the scientists at Johns Hopkins took this research from biological warfare agents and other recent outbreaks, and they created this list. And they suggest that these pandemics will be beyond current collective national and international capabilities to control. What do you think, Frank? Huh? Now that we are living in it. Here's a quote from Dr. Amish Adalia, a John Hopkins Center for Health System Security. He says, health security preparedness needs to be adaptable to new threats and not exclusively wedded to historical notions such as the 1918 Spanish flu. A more active-minded approach to this problem will help guard against such events, and we have more than 120 technical experts from academia meeting to discuss the analysis, end of quote. Well, how effective were they now that we're in this thing, right? So their solution is to create antiviral drugs, universal vaccines that will address RNA respiratory viruses. And here's the payoff. They recommend drug companies and medical device companies optimize their treatments and pursue clinical research under the promotion of pandemic preparedness. So that's what we're in, a pandemic preparedness experiment. Yeah, whether you like it or not. What'd you say, Frank? You're saying I'm trembling. No, I believe nothing they say. Boost your own immunity through proper nutrition. Yeah, Frank, that's the core. Lots of minerals. Your immune system uses lots of minerals. And a lot of people are mineral deficient because of the food is grown poorly these days, and it's missing a lot of mineral nutrition, 50%. What'd you say, Frank? And hydrate, yes. Hydrate, yes, sir. A lot of fluids. That's how you flush a virus out. So if you're wanting some tools and knowledge on how to, let's say, get over the flu in 2 days, the folks at Apothecary Herbs will help you out. It's amazing. You want to rest, keep the fever wet, use your immune support herbs, stay away from dehydrating beverages, take several warm baths a day, and never, never, never take aspirin to lower the fever because that shuts off the antibodies when you do that. Yep, your fever is connected directly to antibody activity. Shut off the fever, you shut off the immune system. Yeah, medicine says go home and take aspirin. Kids with fevers, adults with fevers, I'm serious. It's outrageous. Oh, they'll scare you. Oh, you'll have a febrile seizure. Those are rare. It happens with head trauma and vaccine use, but it's typically rare. Your immune system is not to give you a seizure. It's part of your natural immune defense. I equate it to your self-cleaning oven. You close the door, you lock it, you turn it on, really hot inside, cooks the crud off. And then when it's all done, you can wipe the crud out and clean oven. So that's kind of what your immune system does with your fever. The higher the fever, the more antibody circulation to kill the infection. And then when the infection's gone, the fever goes off. And that's how you know you got a squeaky clean body, free of viruses or bacteria, was when the fever's gone. And that's when they know you're not contagious. And you can go back to school or work when you don't have your fever. Baths help with that, and rest and hydrate. Get some rest. People don't get enough rest anymore. And thepowerherbs.com, check them out. They have a full line of immune boosting, metabolic strengthening, and detoxing products. 866-229-3663. Give them a call, 866-229-3663. Get their catalog or jump on their website, thepowerherbs.com, and be empowered. I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, I wish you all to be well. Thank you.